Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, everybody. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you as per usual. And first and foremost, we're going to start off with a big for Mr. Chris Meany.
What did I do?
For your hockey DFS plays yesterday.
Oh.
All over it, this guy.
Auston Matthews had a pretty good game.
I mean, not to say
that
it
was... I can't take any credit for
that. It was supposed to happen this way. He was the number one overall pick, but to this extent, it was a bit of a surprise to start off his career with a four-goal performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And some other guys that we talked about, I guess, like Troy Brower had the shorthanded goal. Mitch Marner was fantastic. We'll get into a little bit. But yeah, I mean, we have to start the show with Auston Matthews. We usually start football, but only 12 times ever has the first overall pick scored in their first game. This guy not only had one goal, not two goals, three goals, he had four goals. Unbelievable. He was on pace, actually, for 492 goals after the first period. He kept that pace up after the second because he had two in the first and two in the second. So just a phenomenal performance from him. There's really not a whole lot to say. He looked good. He's a big body. I was able to see him live in the World Cup of Hockey playing for the under-23 team. And he's smooth. He can play defensively. He can pass the puck. It's hard to knock the puck off of him. So good stuff from him altogether. But just take it with a little bit of grain and salt. I don't want to be too negative on his performance because it was fantastic.
But Ottawa is just awful.
I mean, he was wide open in the first goal. He was wide open in the slot, empty net. The second goal, I mean, it was nice. It was fancy, but he went in around like three people, stripped it from Carlson, who's just weak defensively, and put it in a weak shot from Anderson. Third goal, he's wide open in front of all alone in the slot. And then the fourth goal is a 2-on-1 late in the end of the second. So I don't want to take anything away from him, but I'm sure now teams will cover Auston Matthews and just be aware of him because, yeah, he's really, really good.
Well, yeah, Ottawa was ranked fifth in goals allowed last season.
We'll pick on them all the time.
You have to pick on them all the time. Yeah. And also, the Leafs didn't win.
No.
Shocking.
Typical Leafs, right?
It's so laughable. They lost 5-4 to Ottawa, who had, from what I'm understanding, a pathetic attendance on opening night, which is disappointing, to say the least. We talked about it yesterday.
I mean, it's just for whatever reason
in Ottawa.
Just, I mean, more Leaf fans there than Toronto fans or Ottawa fans.
Before we overshadow anything, Auston Matthews was great, but
yes,
Mitch Marner, his performance was extremely solid. Six shots on goal. He hit the post at one point.
Yeah.
And although Matthews scored all the goals, it was Babcock that said Mitch Marner actually had the better game in the first half of the game. He was just really finding his rhythm in his first full NHL season. And I was reading an article on Marner just the other day, and it was saying that 2 years ago, he was ready to give up. He was done. He's like, this isn't fun.
Really?
I suck. He's in the shadow of everyone talking about McDavid.
Yeah.
And he just went back to his roots, went back to the fundamentals, and is having a good time again. And it's obviously paying off, showing on the ice here.
Oh, man. His last two seasons, too, playing for the London Knights, is well over a point per game.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, too, they made deep runs. So, yeah, he's phenomenal. And just, you know, last night, I drafted him in a lot of spots. So I was able to see him in the preseason and just be really speedy and just shifty, playing with good guys. I noticed last night he's on the power play. He's quarterback in the power play. Auston Matthews quarterback in the other one. So Babcock's not going to be afraid to use some of these kids. Only 18% ownership as of last night. Right now it's hovering around 21%. Don't wait around to pick
up
this guy. It's still too low. And he's going to remain a nice cheap play in DFS. As you mentioned, he hit the post. He could have had three or four goals himself last night. So a good performance from some of these kids last night. Nikita Zatsov, another guy you need to keep an eye on for Toronto. Only 9% owned. He's going to get some power play.
And just before you get into NFL, because we're going to hit on Eddie Lacy and we're going to hit on James Starks, but Jack Eichel, we talked about him yesterday. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, potentially up to 2 months with a high ankle sprain. If you haven't seen the video, you can check it out online. He went down in front of the net during practice, looked nasty, and it's going to be an extended period of time where he's out.
Only two players have actually scored 5 goals like as a rookie. It had happened like before the modern era. You weren't allowed to have a forward pass. Imagine someone scored 5 goals without a forward pass.
That's rugby.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
It's rugby.
Let's go to football.
Right. NFL.
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
Green Bay Packers, Eddie Lacy, James Starks, who's going to play? We're down this road again. Is Lacy going to play? Is Starks going to fill in for him? But it looks like Lacy is going to be the guy that's likely. Anyways, he's more likely to play than Starks. It's not a terrific matchup. I know that running backs have had their way with Dallas at times, but it's not fantastic. It's not like Lacy has been all that great this season. You see zero by touchdowns. That's not what you want to see. 295 yards per carry is pretty good, but we talked before about giving him the ball and, you know, getting, you know, 20 plus carries, which we really haven't seen from him yet. And I don't know if he's going to be capable of it, but I think he is going to be the guy that starts this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't expect him to get too much full practice in. Just with a lot of these guys that we'll talk about, Ashley, it's just, this is what happens now in today's NFL. You're a star. You don't have to go full tilt on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but you want to see them hit the football field. And he was limited yesterday, so that's good news.
Limited is good news. Did not practice is bad news.
Yes.
And that's where James Starks sits. And that offense, we've talked about it over in Green Bay. It hasn't been bad. They have 9 passing touchdowns. They're up there in the top 10, but they've just been efficient.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Aaron Rodgers hasn't hit the 300-yard mark. Eddie Lacy, James Starks, they haven't had that huge breakout game that
Cobb
really catapults them.
Yeah, Cobb has only had one good game.
Exactly. So just be careful with that situation over there in
Green
Bay. You
have to be in a tough spot to start
any of those backs.
Especially Starks. I can't see his upside too tremendous. Even if he carries the ball 20 times, I can't see him like topping 70 yards.
Upside tremendous for Julio Jones, though, even though they're playing the Seahawks, even though Sherman is going to be shadowing him across the field. It is a slight downgrade, though, for Julio Jones, who's a must-start. Needless to say, I don't think I have to say it at this point, but just in case you're wondering, you still got to start him. However, Seattle is a tough matchup.
Yeah,
they've
tough.
Yet to allow over 20 points against in any given game, and they've only allowed 1 passing touchdown so far this season. That was just last week to Brandon Marshall. So Julio Jones, you never know what you're going to get with this guy. 16 yards, 300 yards. I don't know.
I know. It was a tough matchup last week in Denver, and I expect much of the same. Like, maybe he'll double those 16, and maybe he'll get 32. I just don't know. I don't expect 300. I mean, good luck against Sherman in Seattle. It's in Seattle, too. Sticking with a lot of these guys, Alshon Jeffrey, limited in practice, hamstring. It's been much of the case for him all season long. I mean, Cameron Meredith had more snaps than Alshon Jeffrey last week, and that's crazy to think. I can't even speak. It's so crazy. But Cameron Meredith, I mean, watching a lot of tape on this guy, runs great routes, great hands. He's a big body. He can catch. Like, this guy is certainly startable. And if for whatever reason you weren't buying into picking him up on the waiver wire, I really think that you should. He made a nice route run. Had a nice route run and his touchdown catch against the Colts. So, like, I'm a fan of starting this guy. And we'll talk more about him with Jake Seeley a little bit later on, where he has him in his ranks.
Yeah, Jake Seeley's coming on the show. Didn't mention that a little bit earlier. Sorry, Jake, Roto Experts. And then Pete Jensen from NHL.com. He's going to talk about some DFS tonight. But first, let's just talk about Rob Gronkowski. He, again, was limited in practice with that hamstring injury that he suffered all the way back on August 15th. That didn't stop him and Martellus Bennett from having huge weeks upon Brady's return in Cleveland. This week, they're going home for the first time with Tom Brady. So you thought Tom Brady was motivated before. I really think that Cincinnati they're in a little bit of trouble today. And it's obvious that Gronk will be used as a decoy if necessary. When you have two tight ends, 6'6", over 270, pick your poison, defenses.
He might throw 8 touchdowns.
He honestly could.
Simeon did it against the Bengals. Why couldn't Brady? He might do that. If you're hurting for tight ends, I think Gronk is not going to, I mean, he's just not going to practice a lot. He's been dinged up. This is what it is with these superstars. Just quickly before we go to break, Jesse James is somebody that you can pick up because Jordan Reed is dealing with a concussion too. We know all about Jordan Reed's injury history,
so
especially
brutal.
With concussions as well. We know he's been productive. This is a decent matchup against the Eagles. But if for whatever reason, I'm stuck with Reed in one league, I've already went and just went to the waiver wire and I picked up Jesse James. He's available. It's a good matchup against Miami. And hopefully Coates can play as well.
I was just going to say, Coates, lacerated hand,
didn't practice.
And T.Y. Hilton with his hip injury did not practice. So
I think all these guys are going to be fine. Minus Reed. That's concerning.
Yes. Very concerning.
Yeah.
Also concerning, we got to talk to Jake Seeley every week on this show, man.
It's rough.
But his information does help you out, so he'll be up after the break. Fantasy Sports Today, and as per usual, it's time for your weekly NFL rankings with Jake Seeley from Roto Experts. We're going to dive into his week 6 rankings. Hi, Jake. How are you?
I thought I was doing good until I talked to you guys.
Shots fired. Okay, see you later. Thanks for joining us.
Well, just for the rest of Jake's rankings, you can check him out on rotoexperts.com or follow him on Twitter, all in kit.
We'll take a look at your quarterbacks first. We'll just quickly look at the board, 1 to 10. Breeze, Newton coming off a concussion, Tom Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, Roethlisberger, the usual suspects, Bortles, Palmer, Stafford. But we're really interested in your number 11 quarterback, Eli Manning. I saw a poll on television the other day, and it says, who's having a worse season, Eli Manning or Pitt? Peyton Manning.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, well, Jake, a lot of people drafted Eli Manning to be their starting quarterback. I mean, he was drafted roughly as a top 10 quarterback. And, I mean, if you've been starting him, you've been pretty disappointed with him. But this seems like maybe a matchup that he can just have a game that we thought he was going to have, or a season that he thought he was going to have. Does it start here?
Yeah, it should start here. That's what I'm telling everybody who did draft him to hold on. Don't drop him just yet. The Ravens look tough on paper, but when you look at some of the matchups that they face, like they stopped Tyrod Taylor, they stopped the Browns, but then they gave up 2 passing touchdowns to Blake Bortles while he was struggling. They gave up 4 to Derek Carr, and then they stopped Kirk Cousins on the road, which we all know Kirk Cousins isn't the same quarterback on the road. So the matchups aren't really there where you say, oh, wow, he's faced some top-end competition. The other part of this, too, is Eli Manning's numbers are actually very, very similar to what he was doing last year, just without the touchdowns. You don't expect any quarterback to have almost 700 yards in 2 games and only have 1 touchdown. Mm-hmm. So the touchdown, positive touchdown regression is going to come. This is a matchup where they can really break out. It's almost one of these kind of must-win, let's-get-on-track type of games, and I really think that Eli Manning is going to be looking to have a big game this week.
One of those games that the Panthers had last week, and we all saw how that turned out. Trying to get back on track. All right, we're going to touch on some running backs now. Your 11 to 20 rankings start with C.J. Anderson. Then they go Ingram. Then following that up, you have Charles, who's getting back on the board. Gordon Freeman, Gore Forte. And then we're going to stop at Ryan Matthews and just talk about him for a second, because he's the lead back over there in Philly, but he doesn't really get that running back one consideration, even though he's going to get the bulk of the touches. Is this strictly a volume issue?
It's not really just a volume issue with him. It's the fact that when Ryan Matthews is healthy, he's terrific. And it's never been a question of his talent. It's always just been a question of his health. And we could see Ryan Matthews going to this game be out at halftime. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's the risk you have with him. But if you look at the matchup here, the volume last week, it was a little bit more of him getting back into the flow. Darren Sproles has been terrific, but I think he gets even more of a share this week. And the Redskins have been awful against the run. They're the most forgiving team for fantasy purposes. They've given up 7 rushing touchdowns already. I really think Ryan Matthews could come out of this game with either like 100 yards and a touchdown, or even 70 and 2 scores. This is just a terrific matchup for him to get rolling and get back into the flow of things.
They're equally bad defending the pass from the backfield too as well.
Yeah.
Over in Washington.
Sure. Yes. this could be a Ryan Matthews game we've been all waiting for. We saw 11 to 20, and those who want to see more rankings, of course, you can check out rotoexperts.com. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Jonathan Stewart expected to play this week, and after missing a few games, this is a great matchup against the Saints. Do you have any concern that it's going to be a split with him and Cameron Artis Payne, or you just think if he's healthy, he's going to get that workload that we're used to seeing?
So it's the same thing as we just talked about with Ryan Matthews. There might be a little bit of share just to make sure he doesn't get hurt. Obviously, given his injury history, we don't want him touching the ball 30 times in this game. But if you look at him, same production that he's always had. He's very good when he gets the touches. The Saints give up the most points per game. By far, the next closest team is over 4 points less behind what the Saints are giving up. This is a terrific matchup. Oh, by the way, they've given up 8 rushing touchdowns, and they've already had their bye. So this is a game for Jonathan Stewart to really have a nice one.
That's terrible.
Do you think
that Fozzie Whitaker going forward gets a bigger share than Artis Payne, because he was the healthy scratch when Jonathan Stewart was playing those first 2 weeks?
The problem here is it almost looks like we can't really put why you gotta ask that question?
Stump,
I don't know.
Got him.
I'm just gonna say, look, Cam Newton looks like the better option with Fozzie Whitaker, and then as last week, Cameron Artis Payne with Derek Anderson. Mm-hmm. But that's why I said we're just trying to like throw darts here now and say maybe what's going to predict what's going to happen here.
Okay, let's move on then, Jake. We didn't mean to stump you there, buddy. We're going to your wide receiver rankings, but real deep diving, 31 to 40 rankings. Will Fuller, Sterling Shepard, Parker, Cameron Meredith, Quincy Enunwa, in particular with Eric Decker out, becomes more intriguing. Chris Hogan, 114 yards last game. Thomas Woods, Williams, and Coates, who we talked about earlier, is injured. But let's go right to Meredith, 9 of 12, 130 yards, and a touchdown. And Sunday's loss to the Colts, it really seems that this guy is much more than a one-hit wonder, in particular with White sidelined.
And that's what it is he's getting Kevin White's share. When Kevin White exited that game, the last 6 targets that Brian Hoyer threw, 3 of them went to Cameron Meredith. And we saw last week he led the team with targets. It's all that share. And then we have today where Brian Hoyer comes out himself. Maybe it's player speak instead of coach speak, but he said, hey, I go through my progressions. I'm not going to force the ball to Alshon Jeffrey. Well, that's funny because he's not even really been throwing to Alshon Jeffrey that much anyway. So I don't think that he really had to clarify that for us. Cameron Meredith looks to be his guy. guy because he's filling that Kevin White role. Eddie Royal will probably take a little bit more away if he's 100%. But if you're looking for that big play option, Kerry Meredith, too, is also still transitioning to the wide receiver position. He's a converted quarterback who somebody has the nice athleticism and very good speed and height for what he has. So I think this continues.
Does Hoyer keep the starting job? Does that continue as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Smoking Jay is done. Sorry.
Pat. Yeah, he's all smoked out. He's done.
Yeah, I agree.
This is where you make the tough decisions, like outside the top 40 wide receivers. We talked yesterday about Steve Smith maybe not playing this week with an ankle injury, and we talked maybe that it was Kamara Aiken, Brashad Perriman was going to have an opportunity. But this is another good matchup in terms of just the Giants having issue in the slot. Can Kamara Aiken finally have a game this week?
I really think so, because with Steve Smith out, Mike Wallace is practicing, but he still has the no contact jersey on today. So I actually prefer if he's out there, because it'll draw the attention of Janoris Jenkins. I think Kamara Aiken, as we've seen with Jameson Crowder and Cole Beasley and the tight ends and everybody so far against the Giants, they can't defend the middle of the field. This is where the damage is done. And yes, Brashad Perriman probably has some upside in this game with no Steve Smith, but he's very similar to Mike Wallace as that big play threat. That's not really what the Giants have been giving up so far this year. That's actually their strong suit. Is against the number one and then deep threat receiver. So I think this is Kamara Aiken's type of game where, especially in DFS purposes, you get him for like $3,000 on DraftKings, you're going to get triple value just by maybe the first half.
Yeah, good call.
Is it tough talking about how terrible the Giants have been?
No, look, I'm a fan, but I'm a realist. I gotta put that to the side. Look, I was complained about the Mets all year long, and I'm a Mets fan too, so.
At least you made the wild card playing game.
Nah, with all your pitching issues, good for you.
Whatever.
They were lucky to get that far.
Okay, let's go to tight ends. We're looking at your 11 to 20 rankings. Barnage, Ertz, Pitta, Fleener, Hunter, Henry, Witten, Charles Clay, Allen, Jesse James, Antonio Gates. Chris pointed earlier to Jesse James as a possible replacement for Jordan Reed, for people who own Reed. But you have Charles Clay a little bit higher than him. Why is that?
This is pretty much a matchup base. You look at the 49ers matchup, and there's a lot of potential here. Tyrod Taylor needs some weapons. You can't have Marcus Goodwin showing up like he does once in a blue moon and having a good game. You can't really count on him. It's Robert Woods, and for what tight ends have done against the 49ers so far, they've given up two back-to-back games, huge games, if you look at what Greg Olsen and Jimmy Graham just did to that. And I'm not saying Charles Clay is those tight ends. Don't get me wrong right there. I was about to say don't get me twisted, but I didn't want to go down that road. But Charles Clay has a lot of opportunity here. As you said, if you have a bye week or somebody you're looking for a fill-in, he's not going to have a huge game, but especially more so in PPR purposes, I think that's where Charles Clay has some value.
All right, like it. Buffalo, 3 wins in a row. It also coincided with Sammy Watkins not playing any longer, but don't get it twisted. It also coincided with replacing their offensive coordinator.
Nice.
Thanks. Like Jake, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And don't get it twisted.
We'll see you next week.
See you, buddy.
Bye. All right, Pete Jensen.
Yes.
NHL.com is giving you his DFS plays for tonight. There's 9 games on the ice to take advantage of, and he's saving a lot of money at forward. We'll talk about it. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Things are really gearing up around here. You got the baseball playoffs, you got the NFL season, and then the NHL season.
Tis the season.
October's underway, and then you got basketball starting soon. But forget about that, because we have Pete Jensen on the line from NHL.com, and we want his insight for his DFS plays tonight. Pete, how's it going, man?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Lots to talk about. We're excited to have the real games going on.
9 games on the ice tonight. Auston Matthews will not be playing, but I'm sure he's feeling really good today. Let's start in goal, where you construct your lineups. We're talking really DraftKings, if you want to put some FanDuel plays in there as well. But right at the top, Carey Price is not going to play tonight, not playing in Buffalo. But Ben Bishop, $8,500. Got Braden Holtby in there at 84. Corey Snyder, 83. Jake Allen, 83 as well. Blues played last night, probably not going to play again. Where are you starting in net tonight?
I think if Connor Hellebuck is available, or if he's going to be in net, and that news has yet to be confirmed, 7,000, he's a no-brainer at home against the Hurricanes. I also like Ben Bishop for sure at home against the Red Wings. If you're willing to spend up, And, of course, Sergei Bobrovsky coming off a strong World Cup of Hockey showing where he had a .930 save percentage against some stiff world competition. He faces the Bruins at home. He has a lot to prove in that game, and the Bruins are without Patrice Bergeron. So that's kind of a sneaky play if you're in a bigger contest and you're looking to have more of a unique play between the pipes.
Yeah, he's 0-2-2 against the Bruins, so definitely something to prove there. When you're picking your goalies, are you looking at contests that you expect to be low scoring, or are you focusing more on the history of the goaltenders versus their opponents?
It's a combination of both. I mean, I think for Bishop, you can look at how strong he's been at home, specifically the past two seasons, and just the off-season chatter and how he has a lot to prove to not only solidify himself as a starter, but make a case to be with the Bolts longer term. And, yeah, the matchup sometimes, if it's recent stuff, comes into play, especially recent as the postseason when applicable. So there's a lot of factors for goalies, but definitely you look at if a goalie's at home, and you know if any significant players will be missing the game for the opposition.
Okay, let's talk about some forwards then. Someone that you're high on tonight is Taylor Hall. His first game with his new team, taking on the Florida Panthers. What do you see his potential being tonight?
I think that game just it just has the look that it could be a little high scoring. I know we got two good goalies, but also two very strong underrated offenses. Taylor Hall suiting up with Adam Henrique. They looked good together in the preseason, and there's quite a few options at right wing, including P.A. Parenteau. If he's available in the contest, he was. You know, waived by the Islanders early in the week. He has a lot of motivation. I know he put out some quotes out there that he wasn't too happy with that decision. So he'll have a lot of motivation for the Devils on opening night. And, yeah, Taylor Hall, 5,800. He's a guy that could score 70, 75 points this season. So I like him a lot for that cheap cost. On the wing.
Speaking of new guys, guys on new teams, I mean, we saw last night Derek Brassard score a goal with Ottawa, his first game with the Senators, a guy who was traded for, Mika Zibanejad, playing his first game with the Rangers tonight against the Islanders. How do you see him fitting in, not just tonight, but for the rest of the year?
I like him a lot. I like that they were able to establish that trio in the preseason with Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, who's due for a bounce back, and the rookie Pavel Buchnevich. So Zibanejad, 5,100 to be able to slide him into that lineup at home where the Rangers have been very good the past few years, and just an opportunity for him to make a positive impression for a Rangers team that has shifted to their youth. They have very strong forwards, a suspect defense, but it's not like plus minus matters in DraftKings. So Zibanejad, I would comfortably roll out either in your flex spot or as your second center for 5,100, no question.
Pete, we only got 30 seconds. Maybe you want to give us a little sleeper and just touch on defense for tonight.
Yeah, sure. Definitely when you build your lineups, take a look at Kyle Connor, minimum price, $2,500. Also, defenseman Zach Werenski for the Blue Jackets, $2,700. These are guys that you can, if you take both of these guys, you can spend up almost elsewhere throughout your lineup. You could take Jamie Benn, John Tavares, $7,000 price guys by rostering these low price guys.
All right, Pete. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. We know you're very busy, and everyone can check out your stuff on NHL.com.
I appreciate it. It's fun to be busy this time of year, so thanks for having me.
Your smile sounds as big as Chris's has been all week.
Yeah, hopefully you have a successful night on the ice.
Interesting to note, the Panthers will honor Jose Fernandez, the Marlins pitcher who died tragically in a boating accident. They're going to wear warm-ups with his number and his name, and they'll wear decals on their helmets. So the whole Miami sporting community really coming together.
For sure.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff. He was the face of that whole area.
That whole franchise, yeah.
For sure.
All right, 9 games on the ice. Don't forget to hit up dk.com to make your lineups. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.